Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
If you're a parent or thinking about becoming one in the future, this new series of interviews that we're starting tonight will be absolute gold for you. We're calling it the Family Series, and our tour guides are Dr. Alan Meyer and his wife Helen. They're founders of CareForce Life Keys, a respected organisation that teaches about the dynamics of relationships, parenting and family. The materials are used by churches and groups around the world. Alan and Helen, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be with
you. It's terrific to have you with us. Tonight we're going to start part one with our series, a chat on healthy families. Can you tell us what are the, just an overview, what are the marks of a healthy family then?
Well, I think if you go to the core of what the human heart is looking for and then see how that might be met in a context of a family, I think that really helps. And the core issues at work in a human heart are that every human being is looking for acceptance, they're looking for value, and they're looking for a place of stability where they actually belong. Mm. I think that flows from the fact that we're made in the image of God. I think we're not animals. And we're made in the image of a God of everlasting intimacy. And therefore, woven into our heart is this cry to look into the face of others and see reflected back to me that, firstly, I am accepted. We're glad you're here.
And when it comes to
When it comes to family, that may or may not be the message you get, but that's what the heart is looking for. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. The second is that we're not just glad you're here, but you add something. You bring something special. You are valued. You aren't just embraced, but you're valued. And thirdly, your belonging here is not up for grabs. You are safe. You are secure. Your acceptance is not hanging by a thread, and you won't easily be expelled. And those three, this security, the sense of safety, the sense of being valued, delighted in, all of those things.
Helen, that sense of unconditional love, really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good way to sum the whole thing up.
Yes. Sometimes when parents are struggling, I think we just want to have someone to come along and fix our kids.
Yes.
But as parents, it's important to actually start with looking at ourselves, you say.
Yep. And I think that that is really important, because the latest research actually tells us that when we have a greater level of insight about ourselves, what makes us tick, what's shaped our lives, we'll actually parent better automatically out of that. So it's an inward knowing, and it has an outward expression. And I think the most important thing is that you can give somebody 10 ways to rear their children, but whenever they're under pressure, they're going to fall back to what they've known or what they've seen modelled in their own lives.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to know yourself.
That can be a very challenging and confronting thing, and requires a lot of honesty about yourself, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
And it goes to the core, I guess, of what moves us as an organisation to provide churches with the kind of opportunity for people to do that work. Because, well, how do you go about examining yourself and your own life?
I mean,
that's why we've created courses like Man to Man and Woman to Woman and Search for Life, so people can begin to do the work that allows them to not only hear teaching about what healthy family looks like, but then also to do the reflection that's necessary to begin to see how that actually unfolded in your own life.
Yes. Can we be a bit practical? I want to extract from you, for our listeners, some takeaway pointers on what you say are the elements of a healthy family environment. Run through some of those for us.
Sure. Well, you've got this core cry for acceptance, value and belonging. So the first issue is that every family needs to aim to be positive. Recognize that frowns and anger and criticism cut to the core. So you want to be positive, try and maintain as positive an atmosphere as possible.
Not artificially, though.
No, but you've got to work at it.
Yeah, that's
because it is so easy in the milieu and conflicts of life to descend to negativity. I think there's something in us, there's a brokenness in us that has a gravitational tug towards negativity.
Yes.
And so in order to maintain positivity, you really just have to be deliberate about that. And secondly, that you maintain an atmosphere in which again, criticism or non-judgmental. Now, non-judgmental doesn't mean value-free, but that it is not constantly, what's wrong with you? Don't you have a brain?
Yeah.
You know, when I was your age, I would have been beaten to an inch of my life. That atmosphere, which is constantly filled with criticism and negative reflections, is very unhelpful. So you've got to work at that.
Yes.
And so it really is about awareness. And I think the other thing that's so important is that recognise that every child is unique. They are going to be very different. I mean, we've got four children and they're all very different, and I'm sure that would be the story for you if you've got more than one child. And every child really needs to be accepted for that difference, and to draw out that difference and value that difference, not try to make them fit into some kind of mold. But you get a creative child, you don't want to see them squashed. You see a child who loves order, you don't want to make them feel insecure by creating a place of chaos. So being able to draw out what's in them is part of our parental responsibility, and it's a delight too.
And then I think you go to issues like appropriate roles. Kids need to be kids. They need to be given challenges, and they need to be parented in consideration of their age and their emotional and mental development. And again, here's a big challenge for adults to actually be adults. And we'll talk about this in another session. But see, I have a concern about myself and every parent that when kids press our buttons, we return to childish behaviour ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I know that feeling.
and that's worth unpacking at another time. But for adults to behave as adults is easier said than done.
Yes.
When children misbehave, when they push the boundaries, when they upset you, it is so easy to return to unhelpful behaviour that you either observed or learned or experienced as a child, and adults revert to childish behaviour very easily, and we'll talk about that in another session. But that's what makes a household positive, when parents can actually hold their ground and live like adults.
Yes.
Consistently.
You said the importance of positivity in a household. Does that include or encompass fun and enjoyment as well? I think it's just, it's good to have some fun together.
Absolutely. Sure. And I think in this very busy world we live in, it has to be intentional. I think it's very easy for us to put off, oh, next week or next month we'll go and do something that's fun. In the meantime, we've got all these things we need to do. But I think that family times and fun times need to be diarised. And even with our busy lifestyle over the years, we've made sure that we had a family night once a week where everybody was home, absolute chaos, absolute fun, and
too
that
right.
We also went out and did things together as a family, but it had to be planned.
Yes.
And I think it's important that parents plan that.
My phrase is, if it's in the diary, it actually happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And unless you do that, it won't.
Yeah.
So to be intentional about it. Can I go to the other extreme of the positive thing? What are some of the reasons families can get stuck or fall into a crisis?
Yep.
Because I think that will also help us turn away from this kind of stuff to be a more healthy family.
Yeah, I think often when families are facing a crisis, the whole family focuses down on what that particular crisis is. And that's really normal and it's really appropriate. The way that families get stuck very often is that they don't have the tools to be able to adjust to that crisis.
Mm.
So they kind of stay stuck in that crisis mode. And so the rest of the family then actually gets pushed out of shape, communication gets affected, nurturing of members of the family, even the married relationship can become affected. So that's why it's so important that we give families tools to be able to know how to handle a crisis well.
And support too. I think of Helen's own background, where sickness was one of the things that created dysfunction in her family. Her mum was diagnosed with cancer when she was only four. Her mother died when she was eight. Her father is now trying to raise three little children in an atmosphere in which he has a job, and he's got an eight-year-old, a six-year-old, and a four-year-old. The four-year-old has to go stay with someone else for 6 years, and in that crisis of adjustment, it wasn't easy to readjust, and the support mechanisms were pretty thin on the ground, and as a result, you find families are facing sickness, or they're facing, in our day, often rather than sickness, it might be addictions. You've got a sex addict, you've got a drug addict, you've got kids on drugs, or you've got even an adult on drugs or alcohol. And they cause families in crisis to get stuck, and they focus so much on the crisis that all the normality of a family evaporates, and then kids get raised in that environment. I remember a period of time when we were going through a very, very challenging time as a family. We had our youngest son was going through a personal crisis, and we were focusing on that kid and doing our best to help him through. And one day, one of our elder children just came out and burst into tears. And you realise that our commitment to helping the struggling one through was resulting in one of the older ones feeling somewhat deprived, that
yes, I'm sure.
Somehow I'm being forgotten in this crisis. And crisis will do that to you. You get so focused on it that some of the basic needs, and you mentioned before, things like fun, things like feeling like our family is a happy place to be, that can get lost in a crisis.
What do you say to a parent about developing relationships with their children to both love them and see them almost as a friend, hopefully, but also respect them? How are the dynamics kind of work out there?
Well, it's age appropriate, of course. Again, I think back to, at the moment you said the word friend, I think back to an encounter with one of my 13-year-old, with my 13-year-old boy when he was at that age. Some of the behaviours that we exhibit will be reflective of the way we were raised. My dad was never a friend to me, and I remember one day having a talk with one of my boys who was a little alienated, and I said, "Do you think I'm against you?" And he said, "Yep." And I said, "Mate,
you asked."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I said, "Mate, I'm the best friend you'll ever have. I would lay my life down for you." But I realised that in the grumpy parent mode, he had come to feel I was not his friend. And by that age, kids need to know that I have a friend in my mum and I have a friend in my dad.
I'm so glad you can be an expert but be normal.
Oh, yes.
As well.
We can guarantee that.
We've got more normality than you.
Can we finish our first session with a few keys for guiding your children? Okay, set some principles for us about how we're going to shepherd our kids.
Well, I'm going to say the first thing is that one of the greatest things you can ever do for your children is to love one another. I grew up in a home where my father loved my mother, and whatever crises there were in our family and upsets there were, often I was the one that created them. And I was the one who tested the fabric of our family. But I was clear on one thing, and that is my father loved my mother and my mother loved my father. And the security that gave me has marked my life. I tell you, love one another is one of the greatest gifts you can ever give your kids.
And I think one of the other things too is to help your children to make age-appropriate choices. Don't dictate to them all the time. I think it's important that they learn that if they make a certain choice, there's going to be a consequence to it. And instead of saying no all the time, give them options to choose, because the choice they make, as long as they're safe choices, of course, are going to have consequence. And that's how you learn to teach the kids responsibility.
And, of course, there's a whole list of things we could talk about. We could talk about providing for their physical needs, like taking care of them, their clothing, make sure they go to the dentist when they need to, they get the medical care, the food they need. Obviously, they're very basic but vital issues in kids believing that they're valuable. But I am so grateful I had a father who taught me the Bible. He didn't teach it to me as some kind of a religious exercise. He taught it to me as something that he found was the bread of life. I could come out any morning and find my dad reading his Bible. He was not religious. He was a man of faith. And around the table at night, my dad would read us stories and he would pray with us. We learned the foundations of faith and the foundations of what life was really about around our kitchen table as our mum and dad read us the Bible and taught us truth from the Word of God. I never felt at any point that it was some kind of hypocritical religious exercise. I was listening to a man and a woman explain to me where the fabric of their faith was coming from, and as a result of that, I've always held the Bible with profound regard, respect. I've never struggled to believe the Bible is true because I watched the faith my parents had.
What a wonderful heritage and what fruit comes and has clearly come out of that in your own family's life and relationship and your ministry. Alan and Helen Meyer, I am sure we will be thrilled to talk each week over the next 6 weeks. Thank you so much for being with us on Open House tonight.
We've enjoyed it.
They are from Careforce Life Keys. Next week, we'll take a look at family of origin.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.